Let's do this. The Cult of Hockey podcast by the faithful and for the faithful. I'm David Staples of the Edmonton Journal, and I'm here tonight with Bruce McCurdy. Welcome, Bruce.
Hey, David. How are you doing?
Good. So the Edmonton Oilers beat the Winnipeg Jets, the Winnipeg Jets beat the Edmonton Oilers 5-3.
Yeah.
And this is the good, the bad, and the stats podcast for that game. Mm-hmm. Bruce, let's start out with something that's kind of in the middle. It was both good and bad, and that was the play of Oilers backup goalie Mikko Koskinen, and he got his first full game with the Oilers, and it was a weird one. Why don't you tell me about it a little bit?
Yeah, the Oilers outshot the Jets 41-21, and they lost 5-3. And you look at that, if you look at that in isolation on a stat sheet, you'd say, geez, goaltending was the big difference in this game, and it was to a degree in that Winnipeg number one goalie Connor Hellebuck had a pretty good game. For his part, Mikko Koskinen, he had a very weird night. He was way better than he was in Calgary last Monday night. I came out of that game, I was actually nervous about this guy. He looked so unsettled and erratic. He kind of looked like a oversized version of the monster Jonas Gustafsson, which is enough to send the blood running cold through Oilers fans everywhere, just even invoke that name. And tonight, I mean, his stats were worse. But you know what? I mean, you tell me, which one of those goals was he actually supposed to have stopped? I saw two rockets that found iron on the way in from the grade A plus slot area, two passes across the goal crease for a tap in on the other side, and one point shot that was deflected out of midair off the shaft of Buddy's stick and right into the corner of the net. I mean, they just made their shots, and they, you know, the shots they did get were very good looks.
And if Koskinen, there was a culprit, sorry, Bruce, if there was a culprit, it wasn't Koskinen, and
it was in front of him.
We're going to get into that in a second, but I thought Koskinen, I hadn't seen his earlier game. And I'd heard he'd been all over the net. And so the first thing I was looking for was that, and I was really pleased. I mean, he looked, his positioning seemed really solid. He seemed in control of the net, comfortable in the net, in position all the time. And he made a couple fantastic saves. So I don't have a lot to fault him on in that game. And I guess if you hate Peter Chiarelli more than you love the Edmonton Oilers, you're probably waiting for Mikko Koskinen to fail so you can rub your hands with glee. But other than that, I can't see why someone would be criticizing him on tonight's play. I mean, usually if someone does let in a lot of goals, and they're all tough ones, you can say, well, he didn't make any big saves, but actually he did make some decent saves. And the ones that went in, I don't know who's going to make those saves, because like you say, off the post deflections, those are really tough shots. He might've saved the, shorthanded goal. If he had made a big spectacular save, but other than that, I thought he looked good. I was glad, and he as everyone says, he is massive.
Yeah, well, one good thing that happened tonight was he remembered to bring his catching glove to the game. In Calgary, he forgot his glove, so he had to use a frying pan that he found in the club kitchen. every puck on his glove side was a clank and a rebound. It was brutal. But tonight he made a few good stops with his glove, and the rebound control was way better. One of the reasons there was only 21 shots, but the other reason was Winnipeg scored on their first shot. It wasn't like there were scrambles and they were getting second and third chances and potting them. They were either burying their first shot or Koskinen was stopping it, and there was no flurries of shots. And unlike where Edmonton would sometimes pound two or three shots at a time at Hellebuyck.
So Bruce, what was your good thing in the game?
Oh, yeah, my good thing in the game was, Kyle Yamamoto. You know, that guy's making a strong case for himself to not be, how in the hell are you going to send him down at this point? He's played three games. He's got four goals, two assists, and he's scoring, against Calgary's B team is one thing, but he's played I think just the road games, and he got two goals tonight, and good finishes on both plays. And frankly, I was terrified when he scored the late consolation goal when Nurse made the nice rush and pass, and then they collided knee on knee behind the net.
Yeah, I was too for a second.
No, like that was just one of those that had nightmare scenario written all over it. But he got up and he looked okay. And of course, that was his last shift, so we don't know for sure. But he's making a strong case for himself.
Bruce, I mean, it's pretty clear Connor McDavid has found his wingers in preseason. Mm-hmm. And the line of Puljujarvi, Strom, and Kyra is clicking. But I'm worried about Leon Draisaitl finding his wingers, and I'm not at all convinced yet that Lucic and Reeder are going to be those wingers. And it's, like you say, Yamamoto. It's hard to see how Yamamoto wouldn't be one of those wingers that line up with Leon Draisaitl at the start of the year based on preseason play. He has been he's just coming on strong like he did last year, and he's looking ready. He's such a smart player, and he scores goals when the Oilers need to score goals. So my good thing was the play of Darnell Nurse, who had a fairly rusty, rough game, you know, sloppy with the puck, ineffective with the puck. And this game, highlighted by that fantastic rush to set up Yamamoto at the end, he was better all game long, and he was nasty all game long. He hit a couple of guys really hard. He played that Darnell Nurse top four, solid top four demon game that we saw much of the year last year. We saw it tonight, and great to see that because the Oilers need him firing on all cylinders early in the year if they're going to get off to a good start.
Yeah, my secret good thing about this game was his partner, Matt Benning, who I saw real good.
You liked him, eh?
I liked his play. Yeah, so smart. So smart. He just makes the easy play, and he does it so often. If you're not watching him carefully, and I'm not saying he plays every game like that, but if he did play every game like that, that would be great.
What was your bad thing this game, Bruce?
Oh, boy. I got to go with Brad Malone. And, man, in the first intermission, I was joking that the Oilers should be checking to see if there's any direct flights from Winnipeg to Bakersfield.
That's his last game. Like, that is it. Yeah.
Here's a veteran player with like 180 NHL games, and his only chance is to impress the coaches with, hey, I'm a veteran player that you can count on to make the good, simple plays where the good, simple plays need to be made. Instead, he came out on his very first shift and did the same thing he did last year in his brief appearances, which was the Oilers, which was take a real bad penalty. He cross-checked some dude in the numbers, and, I mean, it was an obvious penalty. Ref had no choice but to call it. And then, of course, Winnipeg scores on the power play. So his first shift ends with the skate of shame across the ice. I mean, but that was just the start, David. He had two brutal giveaways in the neutral zone where the puck came to him and he just couldn't handle it and coughed it right up to the Jets and back they came the other way. He took another penalty in the third period where he tripped a guy outside the blue line. And again, Winnipeg scored on the power play. And again, he took the skate of shame back to the bench twice in one game. Coaches kind of notice that kind of thing. And then the one time that I noticed that he actually got the puck deep in Winnipeg's territory with a decent chance to make a play, he rifled this bullet past about 8 feet off target back to the point that wound up going minus 200 feet all the way back to his own end boards. Right? And against those several miscues, I would like to say there's a lot of positive plays I saw that you could weigh against that, but honestly, I didn't see him.
The coaches did notice it, Bruce. He had 14 shifts, which was the lowest number on the team that game. Yeah, he's a career, generally speaking, he's been in the minor leagues his whole career. And, you know, we can see why. The NHL game looks too fast for him. And there's no shame in that. It's tough if you want to be if you're so close like him to being an NHLer. But he just doesn't seem to have that extra gear or processing ability at the NHL level. My bad thing is similar. It was two veteran defensemen who I thought were weak. I mean, Jason Garrison is trying to make this team. I think he's 33, 34. I don't know why he's still getting games. I guess they honestly, like the first game was so bad and this game wasn't any better. He's constantly losing. He's slow to the puck in the slot, slow to the puck in the slot. And it's just, for me, watching him play, it's just such a flashback to these last 10 years, watching the Oilers, 10, 11 years now, watching the Oilers, and all of these defensemen who kill the team, these weak link defensemen who can't get it done defensively, kill the team in the slot with their weak play. and lead to goals against. And that's Jason Garrison right now. Yarabek also had a moment like that. And I'm really picking on him for that one moment. Although I am starting to notice a general lack of speed in his game. He can seem like a pylon. And I think it was the fifth Winnipeg goal. Oh man, Bruce, he just got whipped. He got piloned at the blue line. The Jets player just whipped right around, and then poor Ryan McLeod, a forward, is there to try to stop a 2-on-1, and the goal came at that point. But Yarabek has got to do better on that play. And again, this is another one of these decade of darkness defensive maneuvers where the defenseman gets beat like that, and you cannot have it. You can't have, especially your third pairing demon, is you going to play against tough competition. And I thought, in terms of the competition for that third spot, I'd be going right now with Kevin Gravel over Yarabek. If that's the choice, I'm going with Gravel, although it might be, of course, Evan Bouchard. So that's my bad.
Well, but you got to give him credit, though. It was C.J. Seuss that burned him on that play, right? I mean, sometimes you just get beat by a better player.
Yeah, but C.J. Seuss, Bruce, is in a household. That's the first time I've heard.
That's his kind of my point here, yes.
Oh, okay, sorry. I missed your joke.
Another drum roll.
You needed the drum roll, man. Larry Mullen Jr., you had to pull it up.
I'm going at my screen, and I'm going, who the is C.J. Seuss?
Well, they were talking about him on the broadcast as being as fast. I thought you knew something about him that I didn't.
He looked like Miles Wood on that play, at least compared to Yarabek. Now, I didn't see Yarabek as bad as you did, or maybe that. I mean, I did on that one play, but I saw some real crafty plays, mostly around the blue line, 5 feet outside to 5 feet inside the blue line, breaking up plays before they ever got going, and what the stat heads call zone denials, and which is the best outcome when the other team attacks the zone, that they don't even ever get into the blue over the blue line. And he had a few of those, and something to watch for. I think that's his game is one of craft as opposed to blazing speed and dripping talent.
I'm not against zone denials, but man, I am all in favor of slot denials. And when you're that demon who allows the slot to the opposing team, you're trouble.
Harrison got burned on both power play goals and one of the even strength goals.
Yeah.
All went through his side of the ice.
So, Bruce, my stat is 15 is the stat. And that is the number of shots created by one Oilers line in this game, Kyra, Strom, and Jesse Puljujärvi. 6 shots for Kyra, 5 for Strom, 4 for Puljujärvi. And I didn't count them up, but I'm going to guess at least 3 of them, maybe 4, maybe even as many 5 or grade A chances. There was a lot of really good scoring chances among those. This line is playing very well. This was against NHL competition, generally speaking, this night, and they were as good as they looked in previous nights. They're all you have to like this line, and for a number of reasons, they have each one of them has some skill, and they all have skating speed and real size. They seem to be playing well together, and find it very encouraging that the Oilers actually have a functioning set third line. Now, I'm again worried about the second line, but this third line is certainly going strong, maybe to the point where you think, maybe Draisaitl should have Puljujärvi and Kyra as his wingers. Maybe that should be the plan. What's your stat, Bruce?
My stat is 22 wins, 39 losses for 36% in the faceoff dot. They just were losing possession right off the draw, and obviously that didn't carry over onto the shot clock, which Edmonton dominated. But they were starting without the puck a lot. And particularly the pair of Kara and Strom, who I kind of saw this coming. We talked about this in a podcast this summer, if not twice, about them possibly being joined at the hip so that they can have a lefty-righty so they can take faceoffs on their own side of the ice, which they did tonight. And that was exactly the plan, except for Kara won 3 out of 10 for 30%, and Strom won 4 out of 13 for 31%. And, you know, so that's something that they need to bone up a little bit on. The rest of the guys are probably not. Brodziak, he was the one guy that came out on top, 57%, and that's what you expect from him. And really, the Kara Strom guy. Otherwise, we're, of course, going to see Drysdale and McDavid taking the lion's share of the draws, and neither of them was around tonight.
And Drysdale has become an excellent faceoff. I think it was 56%. Excellent faceoff man in the NHL. Well, Bruce, let's leave it there tonight. You're doing up the game report, so I think you got some work to do. So thanks for talking tonight.
I'm not unhappy they lost, David. The last thing I wanted was an undefeated preseason. 3-0 was plenty good enough. Let's take a deep breath and let's not panic. Move on to the next.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. And in the meantime, and in between times, this has been the Cult of Hockey podcast.